Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Did you know that freedom is a price for freedom? Mm-hmm. Being a Marine, I think you know, is a price for freedom, right?
Absolutely. Actually, while we're on deployment, we actually had a saying that said, for those who fight for it, freedom has a taste that the protected will never know.
Right.
Because you understand the cost, you understand the sacrifice and everything that goes into so that we can have the freedom.
Right, right.
It's huge.
And you think about it, like 1% of America serves in the military, so 1% mm-hmm. defends the other 99%.
Correct.
But you got to have that 1%. There's got to be somebody, as we were talking in an early part of this program, the prophetic vision that Rick Joyner got from the Lord about the church being in, you know, some of the church being in confinement, and there's this hole that somebody's got to go through to be yeah. able to go the way, to prepare the way ahead. You know, for the rest of the church. And God has always, you know, called people out from among them so that he could prepare that person or persons to be able to lead everybody to where he wants to go, right?
Right. And as you're saying that too, as you're talking about the wall, it just brings up, it reminds me of like mindsets.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're thinking about that and you're seeing, you know, what you're saying, you know, okay, we're called and expected to go out and make disciples. So someone, because I know, personally, in my life too, you know, you're talking about the journey that you went through when God called you. It's just like, I remember reading the word and you see things and it's just like, okay, but this doesn't line up exactly with what Jesus said. And so when you would look at what Jesus said, it confronts the reality of what's going on. It's just like, I've got to do what Jesus says.
Right.
And like you're saying, that exposes everything. And it's just like, at that point, you have that decision of like, okay, do we stay where we are? Or it's just like, what does Jesus tell us to do?
Yeah, and Jesus came to set the captive free.
Absolutely.
And it was the people that were struggling with what they knew religiously about God to understand the freedom of God coming in the Son of God, that they stuck with the religion captivity when Jesus actually came to set them free. Mm-hmm. So he showed up in the temple. He taught freedom in the Word of God. He came to, literally he says, I came to set the captive free.
Yeah.
Inside the temple, and they began to want to kill him and to plot because they wanted to stay. Some people rather be a slave than to be set free. They don't say that. They complain about their captivity. They complain about their masters that they choose to submit themselves to, but they also don't want to do the work to be free. And if you don't have freedom, you're going to need fences like we talked about in the earlier part. So it's not like institutions are bad. I mean, orphanages are good, because there's not enough fathers or mothers who will parent those children. But if there's enough parents to be able to parent children, even if they're not your own biological child, you can adopt them, then you wouldn't need orphanages. So institutions are very important, but at some point, we need to be able to be set free. So you think about this. Even America requires us to be able to be free, to be able to have the Constitution that we have. You know, you got to participate in the process. You can't just sit back. And you're seeing people today run to socialism, run to communism, a form of where government is God to take care of them because they didn't understand that we are one nation under God. The only way the nation of America could continue constitutionally, if God allows it, and secondly, if we participate in the process and understand we got to get outside of the fences and things that kept us and said you can't vote, you can't express yourself, you can't speak your mind, you can't worship God freely and begin to do those things. But you have to participate. And when, you don't need fences if you have a fear of the Lord. And at one time, you know, America, even if you didn't even know God, you had a fear of the Lord. Like in the 50s and back, I mean, people who didn't even know God, they openly were not Christians, but they had a fear of the Lord. Today, people who they profess to know him and don't even have a fear of him. He didn't change. You know, men have changed. As a matter of fact, I went to listen to this one Harvard student that he was over on a Bright scholarship. And he's from Asia, from a communist country. And he's looking at America and he's studying America. It's like, how does America work? Listen to what his observation is about America.
Some time ago, I had a conversation with a Marxist economist from China. He was coming to the end of a Fulbright fellowship here in Boston. And I asked him if he had learned anything that was surprising or unexpected. And without any hesitation, he said, yeah. I had no idea how critical religion is to the functioning of democracy. The reason why democracy works, he said, is not because the government was designed to oversee what everybody does, but rather democracy works because most people, most of the time, voluntarily choose to obey the law. And in your past, most Americans attended a church or a synagogue every week, and they were taught there by people who they respected. My friend went on to say that Americans followed these rules because they had come to believe that they weren't just accountable to society, they were accountable to God. My Chinese friend heightened a vague but nagging concern I've harbored inside that as religion loses its influence over the lives of Americans, what will happen to our democracy? Where are the institutions that are going to teach the next generation of Americans that they too need to voluntarily choose to obey the laws? Because if you take away religion, you can't hire enough police.
If you take away religion, you cannot hire enough police. Listen, without God, without a knowledge of God, without a fear of the Lord, this doesn't work. And the Lord has called us to be free, but we have to choose to be free. When we get back from this break, you're going to see this man that I talked about. He's going to be set free from prison, but you're going to watch him deal with all the things that maybe you would have to deal with if God said, I want you to step out. And you're going to be what quite often the American church calls it, a missionary. You're actually going to talk to somebody about Jesus. And you're really going to leave that thing, and you're going to have to trust God. Join us after the break. We're talking about freedom. We're talking about being free. And it is a big deal. I mean, the day that your parents tell you, well, we're seeing a new address for you and it's not this one, I kind of say you're going to have a new home and it don't need to be anywhere in this block area. You know, we need to travel to see you a little bit, or you're joining the military and like you're in, and you know, these things are taking place. Well, when God calls you, he calls you to train you up and disciple you, but to send you out into the world. And so many people rather be institutionalized. They'd rather stay within that confinement of when people are dying outside the walls of this religious cell, and people are just suffering for the cause of Christ, they stay. Mm-hmm. Say, I'd rather be locked up, because freedom, there's a price for it. Well, look at this particular clip from, and I don't, the movie is, it was seen on VidAngel, which filters out things, so I can't tell you what the actual footage is, but this guy's name is Brooke. And Brooke was an inmate. He was an inmate for years in prison because he committed a crime. And he was so used to being operating in the jail and doing what was told. They tell you when to eat, what to do, when to sleep, when to get up. And all of a sudden, his sentence was done. And it was time for him to be a disciple. No, it was time for him to be free and to go in the world. It was time for him to trust God. He who the Son sets free is free indeed, right? Well, and he was being free from this prison. Watch what he does, because everything he feels, imagine if that was you. And today the Lord said, get thee up and go, and I'm going to show you. And you have to begin to walk in the freedom that God has given you. He said, my sheep know my voice, and they follow none other. I'll protect them. I'm sending you out like sheep amongst wolves. But he's sending us out. It's the go-y church, not the come-y church. So watch this and think, is that how I would be if, in fact, God said, today you're going for a church plant in Pakistan? Take a look.
I can't take care of you no more, Jake. I can't take care of you no more, Jake.
You're gone now.
You're gone now.
You're free. You're free.
You're free.
Dear fellas, I can't believe how fast things move on the outside. I saw an automobile once when I was a kid, but now they're everywhere. The world went and got itself in a big hurry. The parole board got me into this halfway house called The Brewer, and a job bagging groceries at the foodway. It's hard work, and I try to keep up, but my hands hurt most of the time.
Make sure your man double bags. Last time he didn't double bag, and the bottom near came out.
Make sure you double bag, like the lady says. Understand?
Yes, sir. Sure will. I don't think the store manager likes me very much. Sometimes after work, I go to the park and feed the birds. I keep thinking Jake might just show up and say hello. But he never does. I hope wherever he is, he's doing okay and making new friends. I have trouble sleeping at night. I have bad dreams like I'm falling. I wake up scared. Sometimes it takes me a while to remember where I am. Maybe I should get me a gun and rob the foodway so they'd send me home. I could shoot the manager while I was at it, sort of like a bonus. I guess I'm too old for that sort of nonsense anymore. I don't like it here. I'm tired of being afraid all the time. I've decided not to stay. I doubt they'll kick up any fuss. Not for an old crook like me.
How many people today are literally killing themselves? Constantly, so he said, I'd just rather shoot somebody and go back to jail again. I'd rather sin than to go on with God, than to actually go into the mission field. You think this is dramatic? The truth is, so many people, 95% of the church will not win one person to the Lord in their entire ministry. Somehow they spend their entire life doing something other than what we're called to do. This is dramatic, but imagine how dramatic it was for the children that were crucified over in the Middle East, for the women that are married right now to ISIS fighters because they had a faith in Jesus Christ and they refused to deny it. And you think about this. We've got to break outside the institutionalized religion and hear what our pastors and ministers are telling us and go be a doer of the word. We've got to do. God's going to hold us personally accountable for either doing or not doing. And you know what? Every critical word that you've ever made or judgment you made on others, it'll all come back on you unless you repent for it. Because as soon as you step out and you're on that bus like Brooks was, and you're at that job bagging groceries again, trying to reach people around you in some other country or in your own community to talk about Jesus, all those judgments, because he says, whatever how you judge others, that's how judgments will come back to you. So you got to clear up and realize, there's no atheists in foxholes. When you're out there on the front lines, you're just thankful that God is with you. And God says, listen, I'm going to send you out as my witnesses. I'm going to send you out. And we're called to go out. We're not the cummy church. We're the go-y church. And one thing to be able to go out is to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's like training in boot camp. You need to be able to be trained in God to be able to go out. And he says, those who follow my teachings are really my disciple. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Free from what? Captivity.
We'll be right back.
Is the Bible a banned book within a state penitentiary? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I work at a juvenile institution for the state of California. I have always had my Bible on my desk, my personal Bible, and the chaplain has asked me to hand out materials for the students that request it. My supervisor has informed me that I must remove all the materials, including my personal Bible, and I'd like to know what my rights are concerning that.
Now I'm going to get you right over to our legal department at the American Center for Law and Justice, because inside of prisons throughout the United States, and that would include juvenile facilities, there are chaplains, and those chaplains have Bibles, and those chaplains give spiritual counsel. And inmates that are in custody are also encouraged and allowed to go to worship services that take place. So the idea that a Bible would be off limits in the workplace of a juvenile detention facility is just ridiculous. Hang on the line. We'll get our lawyers in touch with you right away.
Do you have questions about your religious liberties? Get straight answers from ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Well, you know, every day we like to share the moment of wisdom. And today we want to share the moment of wisdom in Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. And so it's so important. It's so important to get godly wisdom.
Amen.
There is a wisdom of this world. I've tried it, been there, done that, and died there.
I know that's right.
But there is some godly wisdom. And let me tell you, that is so much better. And so we love the book of Proverbs. We love the whole book of the Bible. But the Proverbs is about 31 Proverbs in the book of Proverbs. And I don't know how it was set up that way, but it was. And It's encouraging because we can share, you know, if it's the sixth day of the month, we can read the sixth proverb. And we encourage you that if, you know, let the word of God wash over you. You got an app that plays a, you know, plays the Bible, reads the Bible out for you. Let that word just wash over you and let it just minister to you, and, you know, include it with your additional other, you know, abiding scriptures that you read for that morning. But let the wisdom of God roll over you. Now, I want to read Proverbs chapter 6, verse 1. It says, my son, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores up its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit and scarcity like an armed man. Wow.
That's good.
Wow. You know, it's amazing how much a generation, you know, how much can be lost or gained within a generation.
That's right.
It really is. And I think that one of the things that we have lost, unfortunately, is the sense of work, is the sense of hard work. You see on programs, you see, you know, maybe young people today, and it's this appears to be this entitlement mentality that's creeping in, and now it's not, you know, forget about working hard, it's about getting it done easier and faster, and what's the less effort that I can put into it, and you know, you ask people, you're working hard? Oh no, hardly working. You know, it's like, not too much. Like, what's wrong with working hard? What's wrong with that? Has that become something that's bad? You know, with our work is one of the ways that we can actually glorify God. It's one of the ways that God can get glory by our work, by the energy, by our talents, by the exercising of our mind, by our labors. God can be glorified in that. It's not wasted. Those 40, you know, 50, 60 hours that you're working in a week, that's not wasted before God.
That's right.
If you're doing it unto his glory. But it's interesting that the word of God says, go to the ant, you sluggard. I love that word, you sluggard.
Sluggard, yeah.
What is a sluggard?
Sounds really bad.
I know. It's a person who is habitually inactive or lazy. It's just a slug. You know what I mean? You know, you don't want to be a sluggard. You don't just want to just be moping along and just inactive. You know, have you ever heard that idleness is the devil's playground? You know, you don't want to be right. idle. Just, you know, running but not going nowhere. That's a dangerous place. You know what I mean? Just idling. Wasting gas but not going anywhere. That's pretty sad.
That's pretty bad.
And so the word of God says is go to the ant, you sluggard, and consider its ways and be wise. It's amazing how God's creation speaks. It's amazing how we can observe things and look at what God's created and just get wisdom. Mm-hmm. You know, I these days, you know, sometimes you're so busy doing all the things and responsibilities that you have to do that you don't take time to smell the roses. Mm-hmm. You got to take time to smell the roses. You got to take time to look. You know, children, amazingly how they have all this time. You're like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Oh, nothing. All nothing right. for 5 hours today? Nothing? Like, tell me something. You right. did something today. You know? And it's like, oh, just playing with, you know, with whatever, you know.
Right,
but
right.
they have time to observe things, you know.
Yeah.
And pick up animals and all types of creatures, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we would do well if we would just slow down enough and just observe some things. So he says tells a sluggard, look at the ant, observe its ways. It says it has no commander, no overseer or ruler.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it has no boss. It got no supervisor.
Mm-hmm.
It has no time clock. Does it have no camera over them? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It has no way to ensure for them, you know, someone telling them what to do. Yet, it stores up its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest.
Right.
See, the ant does what the ant is supposed to do
mm-hmm.
without someone telling them what they right. have to do.
Isn't that amazing?
If somebody has to tell you all the time, you got to do this, you got to do that.
Yeah.
Okay, now it's time to do this. It's like, okay, now it's time to breathe. Okay, now it's time to think. You know what I'm saying? Okay, now move your right leg.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to be at the place like the ant that after you've been trained and you've learning and you want to come to the place where you're self-governing, where you're self-managing, where you're at the place where not that you're better than any, you know, one or thing, but that you're come to the place where you can, you know what needs to be done
mm-hmm.
and you get it done.
Right.
You know, because this sluggardness here, sluggardness, you like that word, this sluggardness, this thing can hit you.
Mm-hmm.
He says, how long will you lie there, you sluggard? It's amazing that the longer you stay inactive, the longer that you stop doing what you're supposed to be doing,
mm-hmm.
it's this drowsiness, this, you know, I've never seen more people have no energy about doing nothing. It's like, how do you have no energy? You just told me you did nothing all day. What, all
right.
what are
you should have plenty
possibly
of energy.
What are you possibly tired about? What is it? But it's amazing. It's like a car. A car is meant to be moving. You know, if mm-hmm. a car doesn't move, it rots out.
Yeah.
A car, you are meant to be contributing. You are meant to be engaged. You're meant to be adding value and sustenance and you know, value in your community, in your life, in your family. Now it's interesting that the Bible says if you don't work you shall not eat.
That's right.
You know, just say if you don't have a job, you know, because there's people that are unemployed. I mean, you can still work, you can still do things. You know, it's mm-hmm. not. So someone shouldn't fall under conviction if they're not, you know, employed. But there's plenty of work to be done.
Right.
If you don't know, call us up. We got some. There's plenty
of
work to do. Yeah, I love when I hear I'm bored. I said, well, please don't say that around me. Please don't say that word.
Around That's
me.
Right.
Find something to do. But he says, yet it stores its provision in summer and gathers its food at harvest. Yet an ant, a diligent person, knows that things are coming up. They have an eye and perspective on the future. They understand that just can't spend everything that I got today and not think about tomorrow. It even understands that there's seasons in life. You know, seasons change. You know, we're in transition. You got to know the times. What you used to be able to spend on resources before,
mm-hmm.
you may not be able to spend today.
Right.
But, you know, if you're a sluggard, you're not even thinking about this. They give no thought. Mm-hmm. This is what the Bible says. You got to give thought to your ways. You got to take an inventory mm-hmm. of your life. He says, oh, my goodness, how long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man.
Right.
And you think about it, there's a progression. A little sleep, you know, a little slumber, and there's like, oh, I'm tired.
Ain't done nothing.
tired. But it's amazing sometimes the more energized you are, if you had this experience, the more you've been working diligently and the more that you're engaged in what you're doing, it's like, oh my goodness, have I been at this for 10 hours? Have I been at this at 8 hours? It's like, I haven't, and you stop it and maybe you crash, but you've just been so engaged in what you're doing. It just adds fuel to what you're presently engaged in.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
It's like, did I not eat lunch today? There's other days you're like, I'm starving every 5 minutes. But when you're engaged and you're working and you're contributing, it's just like, I'm not even hungry. And I have not even time to be hungry.
All right, exactly.
Even think about it. And so, how long will you lie there? When you go get up from your sleep, he says, poverty will come on you like a bandit and scarcity like an armed man. Let me tell you something. Poverty will jump all over you. It will slap wear you out if you don't get diligent about what you're supposed to be doing. And it's not where he wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to, and he says, you know, I have anointed and appointed you to bear fruit. Much fruit and fruit that remains.
That's right.
You know, our life has to be producing something. We're going to be fulfilled when we're actually producing and giving God glory.
That's right.
But if the branch is not part of the vine, if you're sluggard and wilting and folding the rest, and you're not contributing, you're not going to have much to produce. You're not going to have much life left.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing what they say about when people retire. They say that their health rapidly declines.
That's right.
Rapidly declines.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see retirement in the Bible anywhere. I'm not against anyone retiring now, but it means you stop working in one area, but you can still be continue to work in another area. You just don't want to shut down. So we can learn a lot from the ant. We can observe and we can be wise. The moment of wisdom today is found in Proverbs 6. Verses 6 through 11, go to the ant, you sluggard, consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provision in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit and scarcity like an armed man.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.